Welcome to another teaching from City Life Church Wollongong. For more information about our church, log on to www.citylife.org.au.
Hey, start and we'll get cracking. Lord Jesus, thank you for the people you gathered here tonight. And I thank you for not only the people sitting in this room, but also the people connected to each of us. And I pray that you would speak to us, and you'd be at work through us into the lives of those you represent. Pray for your spirit here. Pray you'd use me tonight. Amen. Man, very good. Talking about murder tonight, starting off with some murder. So that's how you get along in your marriage. What? No, it's not. But I am talking about murder. So we're in, not really. Genesis 4, it's relevant, but not the main point. So Genesis 4, just started, right? If you can count, it goes 1, Genesis 1, then Genesis 2, then Genesis 3, then Genesis 4. And not a lot's happened because we're only up to the number 4. That's early in the numbers for those of you unfamiliar with the numbers. I don't want to patronize you. I just don't know where we sit in the room as far as our maths. Sorry. Okay, Genesis, I'm not going to tell you, but it's verse 6 to 10. So the only number we haven't covered is 5, and then we get to 6. Anyway, it says, should we pray again, or is that an okay start? All right, Genesis 4, verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, after he's just killed Abel, by the way, that's where the murder comes in, why are you angry? No, he's not yet killed him, sorry. Let's go again. Genesis 4, verse 6, then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must rule over it. In verse 8, now Cain said to his brother Abel, let's go out to the field. While they're out in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. That's how to get away with murder right there. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is your brother Abel? And this is what I want to focus on. I do not know, he replied. Am I my brother's keeper? Verse 10, the Lord said, what have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. And he goes on to talk about how Cain will have to live his life out. Hey, Timmy, how you doing, man? It's good to see you, dude. It's always good to see you. Cain just killed Abel. That's where we're at. You're up to speed. Okay, so he says, am I my brother's keeper? And, you know, that's a funny thing to say. That's a bit of a, and I was thinking about it. Sometimes at school, when kids get in trouble, they say funny things. Mostly around the phone. It's like, they're on Snapchat, and they're like, I'm just texting my mom because she's sick and I love her. I'm like, no. And they're all like, you know, I'm just using my calculator on my phone, and we're doing like English. And so you can, why? Yeah, the other day, I'm a bit gullible apparently. The other day in class, a girl's phone started ringing, and she said, oh, can I take this? And I was like, well, no, the school rule says no. And it's like, but it's the only chance I get. And I'm like, okay, like a bit stupid. What do you mean? She's like, oh, it's my sister calling from jail. And she only gets one phone call a day. And at this stage, I believe her. And I'm like, oh, that's, wow, that's really hard. Or maybe, look, you can't answer it. And I'm like, maybe she's going to, you can't answer it. Maybe you can get a message to her and tell her not to call you between 8 and 3 because you have school every day. And because I was serious, I wasn't being sarcastic. And she was like, but how can I tell her we only get this one phone call? And that's a good point. Well, no, you can't call her. And then she didn't answer it. But I was like, wow, thank you. That's so nice of you to, you know, not to answer that phone call because that's the only chance. And that's awesome. I go back to the staff room and I was like, hang on a second. There's no way that was a call from prison. You lied to me. You misused my trust. So people say weird things. And like, apparently if you go hard at it, it works better. So you can try that. Cain says to Abel, Cain says to God, am I my brother's keeper? It's relevant that Cain was a farmer and Abel was a keeper of sheep. So he kind of says, am I the shepherd's shepherd? God, are you serious? He's the guy who keeps the sheep. Am I his keeper? Like he's being a punk to God. But the question's interesting. It's not particularly theological, but the question is interesting. Like, am I my brother's keeper? And we're going to try and I'm going to go through a few things on that. I mean, there's a couple of different angles to take on it, but I'm going to try and focus on what we know to be true rather than make up my own kind of angle on it. Some people say yes, some people say no. Anyway, First point. So am I my brother's keeper? We're talking about how to be in good relationships. Am I responsible for him? First thing, you are your brother's brother. If we can agree. I don't know maybe if you're his keeper or not in the full sense of the word, but you are certainly your brother's brother. And we're brothers, you help me out if you want on this, but we're brothers because we have a common father. This is kind of loud. We're brothers because we have a common father. So I'm Andrew's brother, just to illustrate. I'm Andrew's brother because I have a mum and dad who are the same. But when we're speaking more widely about, like in the church, we're brothers because we have a common father who is God. And even in the world, we're brothers with everyone because we have a common creator who is God and a common father who is God the creator. So what that means biblically is that we need to be on mission together. We need to be doing the will of our father. We need to not deny our family heritage, to own up as being a brother. So in order to be your brother's brother, in order to actually be a brother, you need to do the will of the father. Now, you need to not deny the family. Do the will of the father. Because we have a mission together. And when we walk in it, we become brothers. Jesus says, whoever does the will of my father is my brother. So if we're going to walk in that, we need to be doing his will. You know, Jesus, again, in John 15 says, Jesus calls his disciples friends. They were kind of, they're not servants anymore. He says, I'm not going to call you servants, I'm going to call you friends. Because they knew his business. They knew what he was about. They knew where he was going. If you think about it, I think the most obvious extension is like Buzz Lightyear and Woody. They kind of come together in Andy's room and they're not really friends. And then they get lost in Stan's yard and they have a mission together and now they're friends because they're on mission together to get back home or whatever. I can't remember. I should catch up on that. They became friends. They became brothers because they shared a common purpose. So for us, we need to get ourselves as close as possible to the mission. We've got to, wherever there is, we've got to be there and be there early. So for church tonight, if we want to join in the mission, want to be brothers, want to walk in that, get here early. If we don't want you here early, if someone says, I don't want you here early, then get here early, wait outside and pray, and then come in on time. Maybe that's more relevant for life group, right? So if you say, I'm going to be there at 5 o'clock, Andrew, to support your kin, you're like, no. But you get there at 5 o'clock, stay in your car, pray for it, and then go in. But like, if we're gonna be brothers, we've got to be there. Or we've got to be involved. The second way the Bible talks about the responsibilities of a brother, about owning being a brother, you are your brother's brother, is that we have to support their future. Now, the biblical precedence when Israel is being established is that a brother will take care of his brother's family if he dies. He'll take responsibility for his wife and children. It's like a kinsman redeemer. So that's instructed and is in to Israel, but it applies to us as well. And I'm going to extend that the children don't just represent the literal children, but the principle is around protecting your brother's future, his dreams. You got to carry that forward. You got to carry the dreams of the people of your brothers in front of you when you go out. You know, I was watching this video today, and it was cool. It was by... Anyway, it was defining this word which they'd made up called sonder, which is that kind of the realization that while you feel like you're the center of your universe, kind of so does everyone else. And you're just like a tertiary, like a little extra. For some people, you're just like, you know, that guy who blew his nose and you got some snot on him or whatever. Like, you're just the extra person in their life. You're not that relevant to them. So everyone's kind of the center of their own universe. And for us to be brothers to people, we need to carry other people's dreams in front of us and serve their dream before we serve our own. You know, the kinsman redeemer thing in the Bible kind of comes to a fore in the life of Boaz and Ruth, which is then predictive of Jesus kind of claiming us. But Ruth is this woman who's lost, her family's gone, and essentially Boaz... is willing to take up that cost and marry her and take up that expense for her sake. It doesn't matter what the cost is, we need to be there for our brother. Because Proverbs 17:17 says, a brother is built for adversity. You know, and the temptation with Cain was, because he murdered him out of when Abel gave a sacrifice to God and God approved Abel's sacrifice, didn't approve Cain's as much. The temptation is when someone is successful, just a little application, just a tip for free. The temptation when someone's successful is to become envious rather than to celebrate. But if we need to choose to celebrate success rather than envy it, like Cain did. And actually, that's going to come naturally to us if we've been carrying the dreams of others in front of us already. See, if you know, Andrew and Mayor in Cambodia have an amazing time, grow a great church, get real successful, there could be a temptation for someone in the church to be jealous or envious or cut them down. But for us, because we've been praying for them, carrying them forward, because we've taken ownership of that dream, that's not the temptation. We're just going to celebrate. It's great news. Right, so if you can carry the dream of someone in front of you, then you're not going to be envious. You're going to celebrate with them. All right, so you are your brother's brother. That means you got to do the will of the Father and you got to support their future. Second thing, you are one of your brother's keepers. You're not the only one, but you are one of your brother's keepers. You know, Matthew 25, verse 37 to 40, Jesus is kind of talking about the righteous and about how they're going to interact in the end times with Jesus. And I'll read it to you. Matthew 25, verse 37 to 40. It says, "The righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink?' And 38 says, 'When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison?' And then the king, who is Jesus, will reply, 'Truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me.'" You know, I was talking about before how everyone kind of sees themselves as the center of their own story. And like that says the least of these. So that's obviously from our perspective, not from their perspective, because no one's saying I'm the least. Everyone's saying I'm me. So if we get God's perspective on it, then we realize if we're serving God, if we're close to God, but doing the will of the Father, then we need to be keeping and maintaining the lives of others, right? This is talking about basic needs of those people. They need to be clothed, they need to be fed. Something that's in your hand to do, you need to do it for your brother. Because you are, to some extent, your brother's keeper. There's a program Obama's trying to kick off called My Brother's Keeper, which is about this. But it's about taking care of young African-American men in America because they've got all these poorer chances than other people. That's something in the power of them to do, and so they're doing it. But for us, whatever it is, we need to be involved. See, God makes us to be useful. And when we seek him to get to God as the goal, we come through purpose. Right? So if we set ourselves to seek God, we can't get to God without going through being useful and being purposeful to other people. So it's still he's the center. As we come through it, we'll serve other people. For us, practically, I think what it means is we need to be in relationship, both with others and with Jesus. You need to keep yourself and keep others on target. So leverage your friendships in order to serve that purpose. See, Woody and Buzz Lightyear, they didn't just kind of hang out for hanging out, and Woody didn't just help Buzz discover truly his greatness rather than just his pretend greatness, just in order that they could be cool. They discovered that in the process of mission. Right, so we're not here just to kind of help you, help me, help me. We're here to help you because we're about to do this thing for God. We're about to, you know, save people, disciple people, grow people, like search out our community and find the value in it, to seek men of peace who can share the gospel with. We're about to do that. So I need you to be on fire because that's a big job and I need you to use your pretend wings. Even though they don't really fly, you can do some kind of falling with style, whatever. So be in relationship, and we need to bend our friendships around him and his will. Now, the reason that I wasn't happy to say that you are your brother's keeper straight away is because of this last point. The point three is that, in essence and effectively, Jesus is our brother's keeper. Right, there is one shepherd and one keeper, and that's Jesus. So when we're on mission together, when we're taking our brother along on mission, first thing, don't try and save anyone yourself. All we need to do is point to Jesus. I'm going to read Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 11 to 16. If you want to turn there, I'm going to find it. 34, verses 11. Says, "For this is what the Sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and look after them." This is the same language used for Cain and Abel. As shepherds look after their scattered flocks when they're with them, so will I look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they were scattered on a day of clouds and darkness. I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries, and I will bring them into their own land. I will pasture them on the mountains of Israel, in the ravines, and in all the settlements of the land. I will tend them in good pasture, and the mountain heights of Israel will be their grazing land. There they will lie down in good grazing land, and there they will feed in a rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I myself will tend to my sheep and have them lie down, declares the Lord, the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost and bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. You know, he is our shepherd. So when we're praying for our friends, that's all we're really doing. We're praying that God would move in our friend's life because Jesus is the shepherd. There's a sense to which we're our brother's keeper. There's a sense we have responsibility to do what we can. But fundamentally, the shepherd of their soul, the one who's going to make the difference, is Jesus. You know, and it speaks to us ourselves. Because even us who are saved, who know God, we hit situations that are kind of beyond our control. Often it's health in the West, in Australia, because it's one of the only things we can't control. But whether that's money or health or family, we hit things that we can't control. You know, and we just become powerless. I remember when I think I was like 8 or 10. I'm just scrolling down. When I was like 8 or 10 or younger, I don't know, little, we went to the beach, and I was probably a bit scared of the water, and then Dad would, like, take us out. Like, he'd like, kind of carry you and take you out beyond, like, the waves, and it was too deep. And it was way too deep for me to swim, so that if he let go of me, then I'd be in trouble. There was just no way that I could handle that context without Dad holding me. So I'm, like, clinging on for dear life and not enjoying it, and in fact probably a little bit scarred by the whole experience. But the point is, sometimes despite our best intentions, whatever, we just become into a situation where we're powerless. And in fact, it's not even quite like our dad has carried us into deep water and we're 5 or 10. It's like we're 2 and we're out in the middle of the ocean. We're beyond powerless. There is absolutely nothing at all. We can't even think that maybe we could find a way out. We're kind of stuck in a situation where there is no hope, where we're beyond our cause and our power to achieve anything. And when we're powerless, that's where that Ezekiel verse comes in. He is a good shepherd. He is our keeper. And that's where there's a great relief in the fact that we're not our brother's keeper ultimately, but Jesus is our brother's keeper, and he has a good plan for us. Now, the application of that, I feel, is pretty clear. There's a prayer. If Heath, you can pull it up. We're going to pray this prayer together and take the pressure off ourselves in order to just trust in Jesus. Let's just give it a minute. Lord God, I thank you again for these people. I thank you that you have a plan and a purpose for us. Lord, you're our shepherd. You give us responsibility and you put us together, God, but you're ultimately in control. And we just glorify you tonight. Let's pray this prayer together. It says, Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life and I'll follow you. Lord Jesus, God, we declare you're Lord of all, God, and we don't take it lightly that you would save us. God, you give us hope, and ultimately you save us from death, Lord, which is the one thing that no one can deal with apart from your grace and your strength, Lord. And we just thank you for that, that it covers us. You know, it's not enough just for us to be saved ourselves. The reason we don't go straight to heaven, the reason that in a sense we are our brother's keeper, is because God gives us responsibility for others. So let's just take a minute. Let's just take the people who we're believing for, our friends and our family who we know don't know God. Let's just lift them up before God in prayer. as I carry them before him and pray that he would move on their behalf. And Lord, I pray again for every heart represented, not just the ones in the room, but the one beyond us. And I pray for your spirit to be at work, that you would move. We pray for your, just for your grace. Amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Saved a wretch like me, and I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now I see. It was grace that tore my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear in the hour that I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior, ransom me like a flood in mercy rains, unending love, amazing grace. Oh, unending love, amazing grace. We thank you for your grace that covers us, and we pray it for our friends. Help us take responsibility for what's ours and leave responsibility for what's yours, and give us faith in your power and in your plan. We thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. All right, if you're praying that for the first time or in life group, if you're not feeling confident, grab the book. What's it called? The Conference of Jesus. Work through it with people. Very good. That is the end of the night. We got one more week of relationships, and then on that Easter Sunday, we're gonna do communion. But we're gonna try and, you know, talk about what it means to us and who it is. I'm pretty excited for it. So, I don't know, invite someone for a weird that religious thing that they wouldn't understand until we explained it, but it would be powerful. All right, so very good. Otherwise, dinner and a movie after. No. Okay. I don't think it's going to happen because everyone's going to work tomorrow. But please come out. If you're not coming out for dinner, have dinner with someone. Otherwise, have a good night. Hear the music.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this teaching from Sea Life Church. And why not join us on a Sunday? We hold multiple services around the Illawarra. For more information, go to www.citylife.org.au.